It's our business leadership feature, and today we chat to a chartered accountant who's earned his stripes working in the world of finance. He's also worn the hat of a regulator at what was formerly the Financial Services Board, and he's had an illustrious media career. Fundamentally, though, this chap is an entrepreneur who is still working on building a media communications empire. Who am I talking about? Well, I'm joined in studio by Andile Khumalo, who's the founder of I Am an Entrepreneur, as well as the chairman of the INTS Board. Thanks very much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
Good stuff. So it sounds like you've done a fair bit in your life, but before we get into it, let's just rewind back to your humble beginnings. Where did you grow up and where did you go to school?
Well, first of all, I want to say these headphones feel really good. I haven't had these in a while, so it feels good to be in the radio studio again. Thank you so much for having me. Growing up, that would be back in Umlazi. I come from the township, the south of Durban. I was born and bred, like literally born in the township, pretty much grew up there, went to school there, did most things there. Until later in life, I went to a high school outside of Umlazi. And that's when I guess, started messing around with business. It was in high school. I decided to start a tuck shop in my high school years. Mm-hmm. I even turned down being a prefect so I could run the tuck shop.
Wow.
I pretty much knew then that I would probably end up in business. And I was fortunate enough to have teachers who encouraged me and kind of pointed me in the right direction, even back then.
Yes.
Wrote hundreds of bursary letters until an audit firm took me to school, to university. And kind of long story short, I eventually qualified.
Wow.
And here I am.
That's awesome. So you did the tough slog of qualifying as a CA.
Yeah.
Where did you do the corporate thing, you know, the corporate job thing? And how long were you there before you figured out that ultimately you want to do your own thing?
I always say not long enough. And I know it's a six of the one, half a dozen of the other type debate, right? So as soon as I finish articles, which is basically 3 years, you're working in an audit firm and you're not really working, you're pretty much learning still, you know.
Yes.
it's kind of like in-service training called articles, sound a little bit more bourgeois, but it's actually in-service training.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you can count that as work, but after that I was fortunate enough to be hired at Investec Corporate Finance, and that's in the mergers and acquisitions department of a real major
M&A.
Investment bank. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there you are in your suit, and one day you're going to be this great deal maker. And that was brilliant, except that, you know, I was fortunate to find my passion early, hey? And I think that's kind of always been my stake to bear.
Yes.
That I knew what I wanted. So when the kind of the world of entrepreneurship kept calling and I wanted to start my own thing, I didn't really care what it was. You know, I didn't have like an industry in mind or a thing in mind. I just wanted to build something with my own hands.
Yes.
And when that opportunity came, and I took it. So the short answer is I probably didn't stay long enough. I would say just over 2 years, in fact, just under 2 years. I think
that
was over 22 months or so.
Yes.
And then I stayed at Investec and then I moved on.
But some people don't believe that, you know, things happen by mistake, you know, that they happen for a reason. And I suppose by getting the qualification that you got, you know, it gave you the skill once you got into the space of entrepreneurship to be an all-rounder. Because one of the things that people say is that people are really good at doing their core job when they're an entrepreneur, but they just have no clue about, you know, the universe that they need to understand in order to be an effective business person.
And you hit the nail on the head, you know, the old adage of what is an entrepreneur. So I have this thing of self-employed versus entrepreneur. And I think those two things are fundamentally different. I have a few people I know in my life who just want to work for themselves. They want to earn not much more they would have earned than they would have earned if they worked in a corporate.
Yes.
They want to afford a certain lifestyle, not much different to what they would have had if they're working for somebody else. But what they don't want is the instructive nature. It's the clocking in and clocking out. It's the loss of autonomy. It's the fact that they're not in control of their time.
Mm.
Of course, someone else is always in control. In our world, it's clients. But they'd rather that than someone else or a boss.
Yes.
But they're not interested in building something astronomical. They don't really want to change the world. They don't want to scale anything. They just want something to give them an income, but something they control. I call that self-employed.
Yes.
And of course, an entrepreneur is something totally different.
Yes.
It's somebody who at least, even if they never really reach it, they aspire to create this humongous big thing that changes something, you know, so they can look back and notwithstanding how much money they made, they say, I made that difference in that particular place.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 100% right. If you're just good at your craft, you know, you're good, I don't know, construction guy, or you're a good engineer, or you're a good doctor, you can absolutely be self-employed.
Yes.
But to be an entrepreneur, I think, you need a lot more skills than just your ability to deliver your craft.
That's right. So we know that you're a seasoned business radio reporter or presenter.
And I'm not sure about seasoned. I'm not like you.
Oh, please. I'm not a CA. And of course, very well qualified given your qualifications.
Yeah.
So you spent a fair bit of time doing this at Power, and you also held a senior executive position there. How did you squeeze that in among all the various things that you do? Because you do wear several hats.
Oh, man. At MSG, I probably had 4 or 5 jobs. You know, I was the chief operating officer of the group. I was probably the chief investment officer of the group. I also oversaw finance. I was the managing director of Power at the time, for most of my time, in fact, in the past few years. And then, of course, I did Power Business, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So that was almost like the part of my job that was the fun job.
Yes.
Except, like, nobody warned me how much work it is. Mm. You know, and for listeners, they don't know. They just think you kind of rocked up here and you just started talking. There's a lot of work that goes in the background. So that kind of made my day change a bit, you know, because my typical day fundamentally became different.
Yes.
But I did it for 3 and a bit years. And kind of succeeded, I think. We got some nominations for radio awards, things I never thought I would ever do. So it was a lot of fun. But, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you do what you have to do. So here was this business that we had started, Given and I. It was really doing well. We wanted to do business content in a particular way. We had it in our heads, the two of us. We tried very hard to impart it on other people. Mm. Never quite worked. And one day, I got called to the balcony, as Given typically does. He says, let's go have a smoke. And it wasn't a smoke. It was a conversation to convince me to go in there. And that was it. That's how that started. And that's how kind of it lasted.
So recently, under Kumalo.co, you acquired a 26% shareholding in established financial communications company, INSS, which has clients like Old Mutual, other financial houses, and Sasol on their books.
Yeah.
This occurred late last year. How long was this in the making? And ultimately, what's your goal in having invested in this venture?
I think there's two answers to that. The first answer is it could have been 16, 17 years. The other one said it was 2 or 3 years. The reason why I say 16, 17 is because I first met INSS at Investec. So in the mergers and acquisitions team, INSS is a supplier to the team. They help you with the circular. They help you with all the regulatory requirements of the JSE when you're busy with the transaction. So I knew the guys, and I kind of knew them over the years.
Yes.
So when the opportunity came for us to do something, Albin, the MD of the business, and also the family heir of the owners of the business, asked me to serve on the board initially, and that was nice. I was a non-exec. You kind of fly in, you know, you say what you need to go, and then off you go like a seagull does. And then, of course, one day he said, hey, man, we think it's the right time to do a transaction. We'd like to do it with you.
Wow.
And that's when the conversation around investment started.
Yes.
So I would say the renewed conversation probably two years or so, but it feels like I've been there forever because I've known INSS all my life.
Yes. And I suppose it makes sense, you know, given the fact that media is the space, communications is the space that you enjoy. And so you can sort of bring your skills vertically into the sector, you know, to bring a product like INSS.
And I love it. I don't really care whether that communication is to audiences as a man in the street or that communication is to corporates. I think the one thing we as a world do badly at is actually to communicate. You know, if you just look at all the things that are happening in the news today, there's always this gap between people in your seat trying to disseminate a message and people in my seat who are trying to not tell you what I have to tell you. You're trying to dig it out. I'm trying to do something that's only kind of narrowly in my interest. And that's why we have what we have around the world, the Donald Trumps and many others we can mention.
Yes.
So I love communications. I love the fact that somebody can own the responsibility of sharing important information, potentially even life-changing information with others. So for me, I have a passion for it. I enjoy it.
Yes.
It's a good thing that it's also a good business.
So in your evolution as a small entrepreneur who's working to grow his sphere of presence and influence, what are some of the lessons you've learned along the way which you believe will remain the building blocks to your future success?
Lessons? I would have to say number one would be focus. I think a lot of us, all that glitters looks like gold.
Mm.
And also we live in a different time, I guess, because in the history of South Africa, this black economic empowerment thing, in a way, is relatively new to us black people. So if you are half good or just a little bit above average, everybody wants to do something with you. So every other day, even till today, I get propositions of people wanting to do business with me on all sorts of things I know nothing about.
Mm.
So to be able to say no and say, actually, this is what I understand.
Yes.
This is what I'm good at. This is where my networks are. This is where I can go to a client and sell credibly. No thanks. I'm not going to do mining. I'm not going to go and dig up some black stuff that goes and creates electricity. I'm not really good at that. I kind of get it.
Yes.
But am I going to be the best coal miner? No, I'm not. So I think focus is probably the most important. If you look at all of the quote-unquote successful entrepreneurs around the world, you know, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Oprah Winfrey, even musicians, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce, all those people made their wealth in them focusing on something within their
core,
on their absolute core and what they do. You know, Warren Buffett calls it a circle of competence. You know, so you may not only do music, you may act, you may produce, you may executive produce, you may create, you may have a music streaming business, but you are in the realm of the thing that you understand.
Absolutely.
And for me, probably the number one thing is focus.
What values do you carry with you that you feel aid in getting up in the morning, hungry to get on with it the next day and impacting the people around you?
Values? Yeah, that's a really good question. So if I look at myself and I think of the things that are important to me, it's probably to be fulfilled. Because I don't really, and I shouldn't say I don't think so, I know for a fact that money itself doesn't fulfill.
Mm.
And I know that that sounds weird to somebody who doesn't have money.
Yes.
So when you don't have it, all you want is to have it, and you can visualize what your life will be like on the other side of this big check or this big bag of money.
Yeah.
Ask the people who do, who once were in your position. It's not enough. It solves a lot of problems. It's very important.
Yes.
But it's not everything.
Absolutely.
So for me, I think it's to finish my day and feel like, you know, amongst the things I've done for myself and my family, kind of narrowly, I've also done something for other people.
Yes.
And I've also given an opportunity to someone else for them to pursue their own dreams in something that I may have played a small part in making a reality for them.
Super. And you know how this works. We have to round it off.
Oh, it's that time.
It's that time. But thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. That was Andile Khumalo. He's the founder of I Am An Entrepreneur. That's one of the hats that he wears.